House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is April 17th. First item on the agenda is a public hearing on House Bill 3465. Travis Prestwich, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3465 provides landlord that rents or leases a tourist facility is not liable for damages, death or injury that are caused by noncompliance with the tourist facility licensing rules, provides exceptions, provides landlord is not subject to civil penalty by the Oregon Health Authority for conditions during the term of tenant's lease, provides exceptions, states tenant has the responsibility to comply with the organizational camp rules. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker and members of the committee. My name is Travis Prestwich. I'm a lawyer practicing here in the Salem area and here on behalf of the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association and also as a citizen of Salem. I'm here to vote, or excuse me, to speak in opposition to House Bill 3465. I've previously submitted written testimony to that effect, but just to summarize briefly, this is a bill that has well intentions, but goes quite far in the opposite direction. And in that regard, each of us can recall experiences as a youth. I spent many of my summers as a youth either at scout camp or church camps, attending over the summer months. I have four children now, my wife and I living here in Salem, and each summer we send them to summer camps. But this particular piece of legislation exempts from liability owners and actually encourages them to not take precautions, to not investigate conditions or hazards that may be present on the property. Again, there may very well have been good intentions with this particular legislation, but it really puts children at risk for any number of health conditions that might exist, whether it be fire hazards that are present, water hazards, any of those sorts of things. We send our children to these camps hoping that they will have a good experience, that they're going to be safe, that they're in a safe environment, yet this legislation encourages the owners of those camps to not do their part to investigate hazards that might be on the property, that might be conditions that present a hazard to our children. And for those reasons, I'm here to speak in opposition and ask that you vote no on this particular bill.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Colleagues, Representative Springer told me she had some time and seen them. I don't know what they would do. It's late in the process to get amendments and get fiscals. And
okay. Do you have something? 3465. Oh, okay.
So, without that date, anybody
else?
Does anybody else want to testify to House Bill 3465? I don't know how we can get that fixed at time, so
we'll
close the public hearing on House Bill 3465.
If you want to
We'll open a work session on House Bill 2226.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2226 was brought to you by the Oregon Advocacy Commission. And we heard this on February 20th. This was the one that prohibits the court from requiring public hearing and notice for a name change application for domestic violence victims. We have a dash 2 amendment. It aligns the sealing of the court file with the application for the name change to make sure they're not public. So we have a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the dash 2 amendment.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2226.
Representative Krieger moves the dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2226. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2226 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2226 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Discussion. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And who would like to carry that bill? Okay. Representative Williams, carry the bill. Open a work session on House Bill 2668.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2668 was from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. We heard this on April 3rd. This was the one that expands the definition of public accommodation to include public services and spaces owned or maintained by a public body. There is no amendment, and there is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2668 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2668 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Why don't we ask Representative Fredericks to carry that bill? Open a work session on House Bill 3287.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3287 was brought to you by the Oregon Department of Justice. This was one that provides a process for disclosure of witnesses and post-conviction relief cases. It has a dash one amendment, and the dash one amendment was a compromise between the Oregon Department of Justice and OCDLA. Unless ordered by the court, a disclosure of expert witnesses must contain a complete statement of all opinions the witness intends to assert and data considered by the witness to form the opinion, and disclosures made according to the timelines established by the court. So for the dash one amendment, there's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay, and it's my understanding that part of the agreement and the amendment covers the fact that if a witness is not going to actually testify, that they wouldn't fall into this. They wouldn't have to do all the formal notification and tell what they're going to say and so on, unless they're actually physically going to be a witness. That's not correct.
And there's a...
Do you want to call us on that?
Sure. Please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Aaron Ott. I'm the legislative director for the Department of Justice. I'm here with Paul Smith, who works in our appellate division. That's close. Basically, we modified the disclosure requirements such that if you testify by affidavit, so you need to have basically your opinions and the data underlying your opinions. That's what would be in an affidavit. So we sort of crafted that. So if you're testifying live, it more closely mirrors what you'd see elsewhere in criminal law rather than civil law. And if you testify by affidavit, an affidavit's necessarily going to include that information. That's what the affidavit says. It says what your opinion is and why you have it.
Okay.
Okay. Chair Barker, I have nothing to add.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything? Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's the intent of this amendment to make that the procedural rights on post-conviction relief roughly the same as what they are currently in the underlying criminal proceedings. Is that what this bill does, or at least is trying to do?
Chair Barker, Representative Barton, roughly speaking, yes, and especially as to that element in terms of what you need to get from an expert witness. And then in the other half of this, the important thing to remember is this is just getting the names of the witnesses in the first place, which typically you will also get in a criminal trial.
You guys are signing in an invisible ink, apparently.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We had a very good sit-down. We had a very good work group. A lot of agreeable PCR members in the room. The amendment that you see isn't exactly a replica of what the folks at the table were talking about. Currently under the criminal rules, Representative Barton, the statute reads that you have to give notice of your intent to call an expert and any report. And there are times when the expert testifies and they haven't written a report. One thing we do worry about with respect to the bill is that it does require experts to write a report containing a complete statement of all opinions the witness intends to assert. We don't know the degree to which that might dissuade some people from consulting. And we don't know, we do think that it might increase the fiscal impact downstream at OPDS. But this is substantially improved over the original bill. And it does allow for order of the court. So one thing we do like about the dash one amendment is that it says unless the court orders otherwise. So if the petitioner's lawyer, the defendant below, but the petitioner in the PCR, feels that for some reason an expert won't work with them if they have to write this lengthy report of everything, they could go seek judicial relief. And so I think there's a safety valve there.
A follow-up, and I don't mean to harass you guys on the spot. I wish I could. A lot's happening quickly right now. Generally speaking, at least in my practice, which is Middle East apples and oranges, but if we don't have a written report, it's purely because it's cheaper to not pay the expert to sit down and write a report.
That's right.
We're not necessarily trying to hide the ball, but, you know, experts are expensive, especially medical experts. That's just a lot of money. Can we talk about that? I mean, I assume you guys discussed this underlying. What can you walk me through the process there about why this is that's good or bad public policy?
Paul, do you want to take this one?
Chair Barker, Representative Barton. To be sure, experts. Sorry.
Yeah, your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Paul Smith from the Appellate Division of the Department of Justice. To be sure, experts. Cost money, and they're going to charge money to prepare a report. I think the intent of this bill and the intent of the Dash 1 amendments was to pare down the scale of the report to a more manageable size, more what you would see in an affidavit, which is very typically how an expert in a PCR case is going to be testifying anyway. And so to the extent that an affidavit is being prepared in PCR cases already, I don't think this is going to significantly increase the amount of time that the expert is going to have to put into it.
Does that sound right, Ms. Myers?
Chair Barker and Representative Barton, I would agree that if the expert doesn't appear live but appears through affidavit form, my understanding is the affidavit of itself satisfies the requirement of the report.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 3287.
Representative Krieger moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 3287. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3287 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3287 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion on that motion? Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing none, so ordered. And who would like to carry the bill? Representative Barton, would you like to carry that bill?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So we need to we'll stand at ease for a minute until Mr. Taylor can arrive.
Thank you.
You're just moving.
Yeah, he's got this on. Yeah. He's got these two ready to go down. This one was not.
Do you want to revisit the motion?
Oh, like you don't have the bias requirement, right?
No, I
just
mean,
just barely got
to worry about that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think I'm going to hold that really
I'm going to hand these out. 3180. I can hand them out.
And if that is a petition,
we're getting all hung up. Call the House Committee back to order. Open a work session on House Bill 2607. Mr. Taylor.
Chair, members of the committee, you have the Dash 5 amendments in front of you. This is a bill that relates to credit for time served. I've been working with the Department of Corrections on this bill and with Josh Nesby and Dave Hendrickson and the courts on it. And basically would make it a bit easier to give credit for time served for someone who's been in jail awaiting trial, goes to court, and who goes to prison. Currently, there's some pretty narrow rules as it related to the food act. For example, if you are charged with one crime, found not guilty of that, but guilty of another crime, you don't necessarily get credit for that crime. And this would attempt to address some of those issues. As chair members of the committee, there'll probably be further work done on this bill as it moves through the process.
Okay, and we are not ready to move this one.
Chair members of the committee, unfortunately, none of my bills, exception of one, have the paperwork. But at least in this one, we can adopt the Dash 5 amendments and wait for the paperwork.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Council Taylor, don't feel bad. There's a lot of us sitting up here that our bills are messed up.
I can't hear you.
You said that you want to go.
Yeah, but your bill started that way.
Concept was wrong. We're still on Dash 5. Chair, I'd like to move the Dash 5 amendments into House Bill 2607.
Representative Krieger moves the Dash 5 in House Bill 2507.
2607.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Tobey. 2607. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And then we will roll that over to tomorrow. The next bill we have to roll over is 2920. We don't have any of the paperwork ready for that one?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I just checked less than 5 minutes ago.
Okay, we'll roll that one over. What number was that?
2920.
3120. Members of the committee, 3183. I just got the Dash 3 amendments that address some of the issues that were raised yesterday. I've literally got them in the last 5 minutes. I've already sent them down to revenue and LFO for the purposes of analysis of their cost. What I can tell you is on the Dash 2, the cost was minimal. This bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee. On the Dash 2, we have asked the Speaker's office, and I understand that they've agreed to take the subsequent referral off. I do not anticipate that the Dash 3 in any ways would impact the fiscal impact.
Okay, but we should wait till we get
the members of the committee. We have to.
Okay, we'll roll the House Bill 3183 over. And we will also roll over 3480. Okay. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? Adjourned.